Welcome into the Locked On Knicks podcast. Gavin Shaw, Alex Wolf here to break down a big comeback victory for you New York Knicks over the putrid Washington Wizards, 106-102. Alex, they were down by as many as 17. Mike Breen said it at the half. I was in full agreement. It was the worst half the Knicks had played all season. And then in the fourth quarter, everything changed.
Yeah, and not just the fourth quarter, but the second half in general. A total metamorphosis, but in particular, fourth quarter, Knicks score 39 points. RJ Barrett goes insane. Alec Burks has himself a game. And Julius Randle, despite Elfrid Payton doing his best to knee Julius in the leg and give him a bone bruise or whatever, came in and iced the game with a nice little dagger at the end. Plus a lot more. We got a bunch to talk about with this game, so we'll get into it next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts without a five. Young for the win. Yes.
Thompson cuts left. Now fires a three.
And he's good. And he's fouled. It counts. And he makes a foul.
Anthony for three.
You are Locked On Knicks. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me and Alex on, well, this week it was Wednesday at 5:30. We actually put those episodes up online in case you missed them. But typically, Fridays at 5:30 to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Again, I am Gavin Shaw, a play-by-play broadcaster in non-pandemic times. Hopefully going to get back to that as soon as I am vaccinated. But during this ongoing apocalypse, I'm just a man doing a podcast. But I'm joined by my much more accomplished co-host, Alex Wolf, the great editor-in-chief of the Strickland, the best Knicks website in the world. Alex, one day Chuck D will get the message. But until that point, we are the hosts of Locked On Knicks, and we're getting into it. Knicks Wizards. I mentioned it in our little preamble, but a game in which the Knicks were just god awful in the first half, and I was ready to come on and like have a whole rant about this is why you don't play Julius and RJ 40 minutes night after night after night, because you're just gonna have outings like this where they look dead. I still think that was the case to some extent, but it ultimately didn't matter. The indomitable will of those two, the continued hot play of Alec Burks, who had his fourth straight 20-point game and had the best game in that stretch, 27 in this one, iced it down the stretch with some big free throws, some big-time shot-making at key points from Emmanuel Quickley. I would say a throwback effort, 27 minutes from Taj Gibson. They were much needed, nearly a double-double, 10 points, 8 boards, 2 blocks. Alex, I'm giving you a whole lot of material, but I'm going to leave it up to you. Where do you want to start on this big comeback win for our Knicks?
I mean, I think we got to start with just the interesting unit that sort of led the charge here, right? Like there was this kind of Frankenstein lineup of Emmanuel Quickley, Alec Burks, RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin of all guys, and Taj Gibson. And Obi, I mean, people might look at like the zeros across the columns as far as points, but I thought that he actually influenced some stuff on the defensive end. Ended the game with 2 steals and a block, had one that was like a pretty, you know, critical momentum shifter steal. Taj Gibson, like in his 27 minutes, you know, with Nerlens Noel out, Mitch played 21 minutes. He looked really lost for a lot of this game. It was, you know, it's so funny. After last game, I was like, Mitch could be back starting by Thursday. He deserves it. He's ready to go. And then he comes in this game and just was like totally clueless. I don't know what was going on. But Taj Gibson comes in, gives like some of his best minutes of the season, I think, was just bullying the crap out of all the guys on the Wizards, getting inside, scoring some buckets, running pick and roll with RJ, making defensive plays left and right. I mean, he also had 2 blocks and a steal of his own, 10 points, 8 rebounds. I thought he was fantastic. But I think the real story here is RJ Barrett and Alec Burks. It's tough to really say anybody other than those two. They really led the charge there in the fourth quarter. It was the rare time. I guess in many ways it was almost like it was almost like some fans' worst fear of like, oh God, we're about to see what it's like without Julius on the team. Except for it worked, you know, like RJ wound up with 9 points in the fourth quarter, 1 rebound, 2 assists, made a really clutch 3-pointer, made some clutch free throws, made 4 out of 5 in that quarter. Also had like one of my favorite plays from him in recent memory, where he went at Russell Westbrook on the break and made this like awesome layup in his face, flexed on him afterwards, made for a real great like GIF moment. And I guess I'll pause on the Alec Burks talk, Gavin, to talk about RJ for a minute before we get into Burks, who also had 15 points of his own in that final quarter and kind of switched it on and was like, thanks guys, thanks for not trading me today. But I just thought it was a phenomenal quarter for RJ and really a phenomenal game. I mean, his shooting percentage, you could ask for it to be better. He shot 7 of 22 overall, only 2 of 6 from three, but it felt like he could have been 1 of 20. It just felt like he couldn't hit anything from three early in the game, but did go 8 of 11 from the free throw line, which is way better than most players on the Knicks in this game, because they wound up missing 11 free throws in total. 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 24 points in total. I thought RJ just had such a profound impact on this game down the stretch.
Yeah, you kind of have to talk about the intangibles with RJ Barrett on this kind of night. I mean, clearly, I said it before, I'll say it again, for him and Randall, I thought they were totally burnt out from last game. And with RJ, I mean, obviously his moments of great athleticism, and he has, as we've noted a number of times, great athletic traits like his strength, his deacceleration. But for someone who isn't an elite athlete, when he almost needs to be running at 100% to get to his spots and to create and to be the best version of himself. And he wasn't in the first half of this game, and it was showing. And I think he was kind of compounding that with, on top of the physical fatigue, there's clearly some mental fatigue there, right? Like he was like, all the great decisions he was making 2 nights ago were out the window. And like he was looking off, like he had one drive where he looped under the basket and he did his Godfather dribble, which, and by that I mean the Nash dribble, where you dribble under the backboard and you usually are trying to find someone cutting or pick out someone in the corners. And he had the stated goal of that play. He had Frank wide open in the corner, where Frank has just been banging shots all season. And instead of just throwing it to him, he kind of completely looks him off, tries some insane like circus reverse layup, gets destroyed. He was blocked 3 times just in the first half. And it was, again, it was a combo of lack of bounce and also just making poor decisions around the rim time after time after time. I think he hit something like 2 of his first 13 shots in this game. It was really, really ugly. And then to your point, Alex, in the second half, just a total turnaround on his part. And it was because he started, he picked up his activity, and I think he was a little fired up because like Russ was kind of like, even though Russ's stats were mostly pretty bad in this game, like Russ was kind of kicking his ass for a little bit. Like he was blocking him, he was getting his face, he was driving on him, and RJ just completely flipped that in the second half. Like to your point, that play in transition where he just bullied him to the rim and was ducking in on cuts and like dropping it off to Mitch or dropping it off to Taj for an and one. And he, it just felt like every decision that was going poorly in the first half started turning around in the second and going right for him. And I just think the Knicks won this game in large part because of his will. It was Burks, who we'll talk about in just a second, the next segment, who carried them down the stretch. But I think the comeback was all RJ and his unwillingness to just take the night off. So many people were noting it. This is a classic game in past seasons that the Knicks would have just gotten run out of the gym, even against a crummy team like the Wizards. But I think it was RJ's heart and soul. I mean, in a lot of ways, he's from Canada, but he's kind of the quintessential New Yorker in terms of his like embodying all the qualities we've idealized in Knicks of the past. He's sort of that guy for the team today. So we've talked a lot about his on the court improvements and his skill set of late. I just want to give a shout out to his character because I think it was on display tonight. But Alex, I think we should take a short little break, and I should tell the people about our newest sponsor, Sport Trade. Have you guys heard about Sport Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, I've always been wanting to do that. A fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to the projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the quote-unquote how it works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sport trading. This is truly an evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. And if you're a fan of putting money down on sports, I have another place that you might enjoy a little bit. Bet Online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props and almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if, and this is a big if, use our promo code LOCKON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Alex, we're going to get back to the pod. I want to hear your thoughts on Alec Burks' spectacular night. But first, get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get pods. All right, Alex, I've been talking for like 20 straight minutes. I want to loop you back in here. Hear your thoughts. Alec Burks, 27 points, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I missed one earlier in the year. I think that's his season high with the Knicks. If not, it's certainly one of his top two or three performances on the season. Just spectacular. Showing off some insane shot making down the stretch and carrying the Knicks home in this game.
Well, let's see. There's a very easy way to see if this is indeed his highest scoring game for the Knicks this season. Drum roll, logging in to Basketball Reference, sorting by points. It was 24 points was his highest.
Hope I win something.
Yeah, you get 10 locked on Knicks bucks.
Stock, maybe. What did you say?
You get some Alec Burks stock, man. Or you should have invested. You would have been a dozenaire tonight if you would have put a couple bucks down.
I've never had that much money before, so that would be cool. But yeah,
I haven't either. We are but podcast hosts. We don't have money. Anyway, yeah, so season high for Alec Burks, 27 points, 8 of 18 shooting, 2 of 7 from 3, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. And, man, yeah, like his fourth quarter was the moneymaker there if you played with him on Sport Trade. 15 points just in the fourth quarter alone. And – you know, that was due in large part to the fact that he was just going nuts, man. Like, it was one of those games where nobody could make a shot, but the Knicks kept – it's funny. I was tweeting a little bit on the Strickland account, and there wasn't – normally I do highlights, but there wasn't a lot of highlights to get into as this game was going on. So eventually I just kind of got bored and just started tweeting, you know, and not clipping plays because I was like, what plays am I going to clip? And, you know, going into the fourth, I think the Knicks were down like 12 or 14. I forget. They had narrowed the deficit by a little bit going into the fourth quarter. And I was like, man, it's kind of wild that the Knicks have played this bad and yet are still within striking distance. And someone on Twitter was like, they're in what distance? Like, there's no way they're going to win this game. And all I was thinking to myself when I was tweeting that, though, was like, all it's going to take is for one or maybe two Knicks to turn it on in this quarter, and the Knicks could reasonably win this game because the Wizards were like, you know, as much as they were up by 12 on the Knicks going into the fourth, that wasn't because they were playing good. It was just because the Knicks were playing worse than them, you know? So if the Knicks just kind of got back to their normal level or like slightly above average and started defending like they normally do, then they absolutely could have won the game. And that was like precisely what happened. they turned up the defense, and then all of a sudden Alec Burks remembered how to shoot, and totally different ball game. You know, like Burks, it was basically Burks, Barrett, and Quickley. You know, Burks with 15 points, RJ with 9, Quickley with 7. All of them shot 50% or better in the fourth quarter. And Julius Randle shot 2-2, Taj Gibson 2-3. Bing, bang, boom. That's all you need, man. Like, it, you know, the Knicks as a team shot 60% in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it was just kind of a testament to them not giving up on this game. And Alec Burks also, you know, just being the type of guy that can put, you know, some shooting struggles behind him. You know, again, he shot 4-7 in the fourth quarter, 8 of 18 overall. So that means prior to that, he was 4 of 11 from the field. And he also had not made a 3 before the fourth quarter. Had gone, I think it was 0 for 3 prior to that point. And you know, just as the saying goes, shooters shoot. And he found his rhythm, and that was really all it took. And you know, he almost lost the rhythm right at like the most inopportune moment. Like he did everything to get the Knicks back into the game. You know, he made a couple of clutch threes. He, as did RJ. RJ made one that was like really clutch as well, that came on this like kind of bonkers pass from Quickley that weaved its way through like three different defenders along the baseline to find its way to RJ in the corner. And you know, Burks did his part, and just, I guess, you know, we haven't even talked about the trade deadline yet, which is funny, which we'll probably just do a separate episode tomorrow, since ultimately it was kind of inconsequential for the Knicks. But, you know, it was almost like Burks was like thanking the Knicks for not trading him today and was like, I enjoy it here. Let me show you that I can win you guys some basketball games if I just get a little hot. And that's exactly what he did. And he won the Knicks the basketball game.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I mean, just the consistency what you've seen from him over the last four games, and you can see how it elevates the Knicks, because I mean, what's their record over the last four or five without Burks? I mean, obviously they still win the first Wizards game, but they probably that's maybe the only game they win post All-Star break. I can't remember how good he was in the Magic game, but the point is his scoring has been so essential for them, and it's obvious that that's like a long-term need, and hopefully they can find someone in this draft, like if they're lucky enough to jump up to 5, which is looking increasingly less likely as it seems like they're going to make the playoffs, but they somehow jump up to 5 or something and get someone like Jalen Green. Like it's clear they need that one final shot maker next to RJ and Randle. And that's sort of the whole thing with Burks right there. He can provide it for a night at a time when he's really doing well. He can provide it for a week or two at a time, but I mean, the story of his whole career, unless he's having like a Steve Nashy and I just turned 30 late career jump, is that he's never been able to maintain it over the course of a season. But the utility of having that dude in there, especially one with the sheer variety he brings on offense. I was saying it the other night and I'll say it again. I mean, the guy's a bona fide 3-level scorer with a whole lot of variety in his game. I don't know about you, Alex. I'm just coming to the point that he's almost a must keep for the Knicks this offseason. And again, as you continue to shore up that roster and you rely on someone like Burks a little bit less, the inconsistency becomes a little bit more palatable, though obviously right now that's not an issue.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call him a must keep necessarily, but certainly if the Knicks can get him on another affordable deal for next season, I would be on board, because it seems like, you know, short of some miracle like Kawhi Leonard suddenly deciding he wants to play for the Knicks and Tibbs and play alongside Julius Randle, like there's not much else going on this offseason where I think the Knicks would need to, you know, go after someone else and have Burks go by the wayside. And they could maybe even give him like a, you know, another 1-year deal, but with a bigger, you know, 1-year salary, like $12 million or something, just to kind of be like, hey, thanks for coming back and thanks for being so good last year. I think there are some frustrating parts to his game, like when he kind of goes into like gunner mode but isn't making his shots. But also Tibbs has kind of showed, particularly when the Knicks are at full strength, that he doesn't really have any reservations about, you know, giving him a quick hook in that case. And getting him off the floor if he's not playing well. So it's good food for thought. I mean, especially because we just passed the trade deadline. it's an interesting thought already to start thinking about, okay, maybe the Knicks can hold on to Alec Burks after this year, because, you know, just like they stood pat in this, you know, at this trade deadline, there's a good chance that just because of lack of, you know, overall players available, it might be a prudent move for them to stand pat, you know, going into the offseason as well. But I'll tell you where you should not stand pat is with your auto parts provider. If you've been going to a brick and mortar auto parts store recently, that's why I would suggest you go to rockauto.com. Why should you go there? It's the best possible place to get parts for your car or truck. Think about it. There's so many models and makes of cars out there. It's like impossible for any store, any, you know, chain storefront to keep those parts all in stock for you to where you can have them accessible to you when you go into the store. Inevitably, you're going to go in there. You're going to have to go to the counter. They're going to ask you like 50 questions just to get to the point of you saying, dude, I looked this up online. I found what I need. This is the part. Can you please just order it for me? Then they give you the price and you get a little sticker shock and you go, man, like maybe I should go to my mechanic and get a quote. But no, I'm going to do this myself because this is important to me to do. And so then you order the part. They tell you, oh, all right, it'll be like 3-4 days. And then you got to come back to our store to pick it up. We're not going to ship it to you. Then you go back to their store, trek back, get your part, finally get home and get it all done. But by the time you pay all that money and make all those trips, you wonder, maybe it would have been easier to just go to the mechanic. Or it could be easier to just use rockauto.com like a tech-savvy 21st century individual. Because with rockauto.com, you never have to leave your house. Just type that URL in. Again, rockauto.com. You'll be greeted with one of the easiest to sort through websites you could possibly imagine. It's just a big list of all of the makes of car. Then you click on the year, click on your model, and click on the trim package of your car. You get a super easy to sort through list. Click on the part that you need. Order it directly to your door for the guaranteed bottom dollar price that you are going to find on the internet. It's painless, it's easy, and you get the best customer service ever because they've been in business for over 20 years and know what the heck they're doing as far as car parts are concerned. So again, if you want to check out what is available for your car or truck, go to rockauto.com right now. I guarantee if there's something you're trying to do on your car, you're going to find the parts you need, and it's going to be less expensive than you can get it anywhere else. And if you decide to pick up a part for your car or truck, maybe to do a little nice weather repair since it's been a little nicer out lately, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And what would today's episode be without an update on Built Bar Madness? We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, fantastic tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all of their bars. Now it's time to figure out which Built Bar is the best. That's right. I said it already. It is Built Bar Madness. And man, things are heating up in the enticing eight. We're starting to set the field of the flavorful four. Cookies and cream came out on top of coconut almond. I told you guys I wouldn't be mad at that because I love both those flavors. I'm happy for cookies and cream. Coconut almond had a good run. You know, it still tastes just like an Almond Joy. You should still order some, but it was a great win for cookies and cream. Today's matchup was mint brownie versus coconut puff. As we're recording this, that has not gone final yet. They're probably going down to the buzzer. Hopefully Coconut Puff wins. The Built Puff bars are fantastic. Have like this light, airy texture like a marshmallow. And again, you know, I think coconut just pairs so well with the Built Bar flavor profile. They're fantastic. I think that should win out over Mint Brownie. Then there's another tough matchup coming up for today. If you're listening on Friday, which you probably are, Cookie Dough Chunk versus Birthday Cake. And Birthday Cake has white chocolate on it. And sprinkles. My wife loves that one. She's a big fan of sprinkles and a pretty birthday cake looking things. So I'm not quite sure which one to pull for here because Cookie Dough Chunk has real chunks of cookie dough on top. both phenomenal choices. I'm kind of torn again, but I'm gonna say I will suggest vote for white chocolate birthday cake in this matchup. So that's my pick for today. But there's plenty more to come. Built Bar Madness is going to be going on for a little while longer. We're almost, again, to the point where we have the final flavorful four set here. And it's going to be a fun time to see who comes out on top. So go to BuiltBar.com or at @bar_built on Twitter to vote for that. And remember, go to BuiltBar.com. Maybe you put together a flavorful four, I got at that time, box, and you know, get all your favorite flavors in there, whatever you want to do. But if you do, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. And I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you guys, Locked On NBA Draft is going on right now with some fantastic scouting reports. Now that we're in March Madness, get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. All right, Gavin, we have I now have had my turn to talk for 10 straight minutes. So I'm going to, let's see, I'll throw a couple names at you this time. Julius Randle, we could talk about how worried we were potentially about his little owie on his leg. And the fact that he came back in and like a cold blooded killer closed this game out for the Knicks and, you know, made Rui Hachimura his son, in the process. We could talk about Emmanuel Quickley, who kind of had a, I guess you could call it a return to form sort of game in this one. Also was, you know, a big influence down the stretch. Could gush a little more about Taj Gibson. What direction do you want to take things?
Yeah, Alex, I'm going to go Taj. This was a real throwback game for him. Again, the stats, 10 points, 8 boards, 2 blocks and a steal. I think belie the impact. Like, it's amazing. Like, you so rarely see 35-year-old career role players who can still contribute at that age, obviously with revelations or advancements in health technology and training and stuff. More and more guys can stay in shape and play at that age, but that's true for the younger guys too. So for someone who, I mean, he was a starter for a lot of years, but for someone who was never even like a borderline star in the NBA to still be in the league and still to fairly consistently make a somewhat positive impact. Like, I've even thought at different points, Taj this year is better than Taj last year. And I'm sure that's more based on situation than anything he's changed in his game from age 34 to 35. But this is a very long-winded way of saying I'm amazed by how good he still is and just the impact he has every single night. Like, he set some bone-crushing screens in this one. Like, he nearly killed poor Garrison Matthews, who was in the middle of a great game, on Burks's left side wing jumper that gave the Knicks a 98-92 lead and capped off their 13-1 run in under 3 minutes that all but sealed this game up. He had that great screen that got quickly a wide open three that elicited the big bang for Mike Breen that gave the Knicks 94-91 lead. He had this really nice play that I loved where he didn't finish the and one, but when RJ dumped it off to him in the lane and he gave a little pump fake and Rolo took the bait. And then I think a younger big, like a Mitch or someone, would just kind of be like, all right, I'm going to go up and under and get my two. He's like, no way. This is a great opportunity to get an and one. Like, intentionally, like, kind of bumps his hip into Rolo, but it's a foul on the defender because he left his feet, puts it in for the and one, had that big dunk off of, like, what I thought was RJ's, like, best pass of the game when RJ had the little, like, extra dribble, like, no look to him. That was when Obi had the steal. Then RJ drove in, knocked his guy over, then dumped it off to Taj for the dunk. Excuse me. But it was just an awesome throwback effort for Taj Gibson. And I thought it was kind of like a night where this was a pure like willpower win for the Knicks. I've always felt that Taj Gibson has kind of embodied that quality, and that's why Tibbs is so in love with him as a player, because as we know from what PD told us, Tibbs wants that bulldog mentality, and Taj. Taj has that with a lot of nuance, a lot of finesse, and a lot of skill in his game as well. So shout out to Taj Gibson, a forever role player, but certainly an impactful one.
Yeah, I love Taj, man. I like watching him when he has these like throwback games. Not that he doesn't give, you know, maximum effort every time that he's out there, but these particular ones where he just, yeah, he's making really big impacts himself, and you could just see how much joy it brings him. I love these sort of games for him, and I'm really happy that, honestly, that he wound up getting back on the Knicks. And you know, I don't miss Omari Spellman in the slightest for having Taj back and having that presence on the team. It seems like he's very well loved by his teammates too. You know, he and RJ, not just getting along on the court, but you know, like, or you know, getting along from a play style perspective or whatever. They seem to have like a good rapport just as teammates. You know, Taj had the real nice moment where he kind of like, when the game was kind of in its more dire straits, Taj kind of like patted RJ on the back, was like, hey, you know, just keep going. Like, we'll be all right. And look at that. In the end, they were all right. And a large part of it was that RJ, you know, got it together. And so did the whole team as a result. And they wound up winning the game. Shout out to the fact, not to go back to RJ again, though, but shout out to the fact that RJ is literally the youngest player on this team and just led them to a huge comeback win when their star player was sitting on the bench for, you know, a good stretch of the second half when they were making their run. That's really cool. But I'll throw our love towards, I don't know who next. I guess
Quickly had some good moments in this one.
Yeah, I'm thinking Quickly. I mean, he had some pretty great moments. You already mentioned the bang on his 1 3-pointer, which was really memorable. And he had a great reaction after that. When the Knicks were making that comeback and they eventually finally like took the lead, which that Quickly three was the one that did it. The reactions from them were just priceless, man. Like, if I could get those on NBA Top Shot, I would probably pay a couple $100 for them, you know, just to see their faces after the made shots. I don't even care about the having the moment of the shot itself, but just so cool, the energy that was coming out of them. Quickly, I thought, actually kind of went back towards playmaking a bit in this game too. You know, I've said recently, you know, I worry a little bit that sometimes it seems like he's shooting too much, particularly if they're not going in. In this game, he didn't shoot a particularly great percentage, just like the rest of the team. I mean, oh God, overall for this game, the Knicks numbers were still putrid by the end. It was just that they really, you know, they got bailed out by the fact that Washington was not nearly better enough to separate themselves enough to withstand one miracle quarter from the Knicks. But I mean, the Knicks overall shot 36.6% from the field, 25% from three, and 73.8% from the line in this game. That's just horrendous. But, you know, Quickly was, I think, looking to get others involved quite a bit. That, you know, kind of showed through in those three assists that he had. I already mentioned the one where he found RJ in the corner. That was like a really key moment for the Knicks. And, you know, it's sort of, it reminded me in a way, I mean, I guess it was a different circumstance because he was driving into the lane and then kicked out to the corner, but it was kind of a similar thing where we talked about in one of the other games recently, RJ looked off what could have been a potential kind of hard three-pointer to then pass it to, you know, make one extra pass to Frank in the corner, and Frank hit a three-pointer at a key moment in a game recently. And then, you know, we sort of saw similar stuff from Quickly where Quickly could have reverted to trying to hero ball it, but instead he trusted his teammates, trusted RJ, and, you know, didn't go for like a hard contested layup or a floater or whatever, and instead took it all the way into the teeth of the D and then kicked it to RJ in the corner with a beautiful pass and got a really key three-pointer out of it. So I liked what Quickly did a lot, and I hope that he kind of takes this game and, you know, carries it on for the next however many games towards the rest of the season, and maybe, fingers crossed, playoffs. And because we're already 55 games. Oh my God, dude, we're 55 games in, or 45 games. Wow, math. I looked at this for a second. I was like, wait a minute, that can't be right. 45 games into this season, there's like less than 30 games left at this point. So hopefully he can carry that through the end of the season and maybe even into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I also let's throw Julius Randle a shout out for fighting through whatever that thigh thing was. I actually, it's been a while since I've compared my own basketball exploits to an all NBA player. So let me do that, because I know people love that stuff. I suffered a thigh contusion playing with the two friends the other day. So I can empathize with Julius, but he comes back in. And what I really love about Randall this year, I mean, a guy who, like, we're constantly complaining about being a ball hog a year ago, like, the dude, for someone who's as good as he is, and that's really, really good. They're talking like one of the 20 best players on the planet right now, one of the 30 best players on planet Earth. The guy has no ego right now. Like, he knew it wasn't his night. He knew he was run down and kind of exhausted. But instead of forcing the issue and coming in and saying, "Hey, I'm supposed to be the alpha dog. This is my team." He was content to say, "All right, Burks, go get yours. Gibson, go get yours. IQ, go get yours. RJ, go get yours." But then when the going got tough and the Knicks, you got the feeling like it just the Sixers game, the Nets game, it's never easy for the Knicks post All-Star break. I mean, even after the shot that Randall made, like, we still had Garrison Matthews making the insane corner three and Beal making the three before that. And, like, the Knicks just can't escape with a clean win. But the reason those shots weren't an issue is because Randall had that insanely tough 17-foot step back over Rui Hachimura, who was all over and, like, hounding him, kind of grabbing at his hip. But Randall just nailed it. And that was after, like, a couple possessions before, he had, like, another just, like, nutso turnaround that, again, maybe, like, 15 players on the planet can make in a clutch situation like that. It's still, like, I don't think we should take Randall's shooting for granted. They had a stat in this game, Alex, that Randall's three-point percentage jumped this year, and not, like, on low volume, on more attempts, the second highest in NBA history, relative to Joe Johnson was the only guy ahead of him when he went from the Suns to the Hawks in 2005. But that was crazy. And Randall just, I mean, tough shot after tough shot. So salute to the guy on what was a horrible night for him. I mean, he somehow found a way to hit the biggest shot of the game.
Yeah, and to get back into the game after it, somehow he had 37 minutes in this game, and it felt like he was riding that exercise bike for 37 minutes. Every time they showed him, I was just like, oh God, please be okay, please be okay, please be okay. But, you know, the fact that he was riding an exercise bike and trying to stay loose told you that, okay, he's probably okay. But shouts to him for coming back in. Yeah, like, coming in cold, hurt, and just, you know, doing what he does, making a huge shot down the line. And you could tell, like, I mean, he knew that he was going to make that final shot too, because he cleared everybody out. He isolated Rui up beyond the three-point line, and just, you know, took him in and just made that right over his head. He also did another one to Bradley Beal at one point, I think also in the fourth quarter, which Bradley Beal, maybe just take the hint and, like, stop trying to guard Julius Randle. Like, stop, like, putting that on yourself and, like, taking the big matchup, because you can't guard him. You have trouble with some two guards. Please, you know, stop doing this to yourself and trying to guard Julius Randle in the post, because he got totally abused by Julius there too. Another, you know, it was a statistically underwhelming game for Julius, but moments galore and fun all around, as far as I'm concerned with him. But Gavin, I think we could probably wrap this one up. Big, fun trade deadline day win. And I was very happy with this game after thinking that I was just going to, like, go to bed angry. Instead, I get to go to bed kind of happy. And I thought it was a great time. And as I said before, we are going to put out a little reaction to the trade deadline. There wasn't, obviously, the Terrence Ferguson deal, not a huge deal. So we didn't feel a need to, like, record a whole podcast on it. But we're going to try to mop up some of the stuff that came up after the deadline about who the Knicks were in on, who they weren't, you know, the decisions they ultimately made and what those meant. Andre Drummond, who's come up a few times since the deadline passed, and it's going to be bought out by the Cavs. So we got some stuff to talk about still. So we will get into that probably later today if you're listening to this on Friday morning. So keep your ear out, and we'll have something out about what happened at the trade deadline as well for your weekend. So, until next time, though, in, you know, whatever, probably a few hours. This has been Locked On Knicks. We'll talk to you all soon. Peace out.